You're listening to Mind Your Own Business. Hi, I'm Scott Sullivan, your host. Mind Your Own Business is a weekly show that we do talking to some of the greatest CEOs and entrepreneurs, helping you to be better at being a business professional by learning from all of the experience that these entrepreneurs and CEOs bring from all around the world. Exclusively here on Inspired News Radio. And now it's time for Mind Your Own Business.
Well, it's a great day right here at Inspired News Radio. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I'm so glad that you're here. Another issue, another episode, another time where we are going to do Mind Your Own Business. Hi, I'm Scott Sullivan. I am your host and your guide, your Sherpa, if you will, bringing you through the world of business and the world of entrepreneurship. And this week, I've got an exceptional guest. I am so excited to have with me today the CEO and founder of Accelerate America, Roy Lamphere. Roy, I am so glad that you're here. Thank you very much for being a guest on Mind Your Own Business. And how the heck are you out there in Detroit today?
Thank you, Scott. It's a pleasure to be here. Similarly, very excited to be on the show. Contagion aside, things are good in Detroit. It's the first day of spring, at least where we're at when we're recording. So generally, that's a nice thing when you're coming from Detroit because it means end of snow. But, it's a good time to talk business and where things are going.
It is. That's exactly right, because spring is season of change, and that's what we're talking about. We're talking about Accelerate America, and yes, you're right. We are in the throes of this pandemic that's happening while we're recording around us. There's uncertainty in the market. There's uncertainty around us. There's uncertainty with business and where our next paycheck's coming from, how we're going to stimulate the economy. But that's what we're here to talk about today, how to thrive and how to actually grow your business, even though there could be some uncertainty out there knocking on the door. And I am super excited to have you here today. So thank you so much. Before we get started into the origin story, which is what my listeners absolutely love, they love knowing kind of where you came from and how you got your feet on this path. Tell us, just give us that 2 minutes about Accelerate America and what it is that you guys do, and then we'll dive right into the origin story and pick up kind of the timeline back in the back somewhere.
Fantastic. So Accelerate America, spelled E-X-C-E-L, not A-C-C, like a traditional accelerator. But it was kind of modeled after the idea of a business accelerator. And for people who aren't familiar, a business accelerator typically does a bit of education, some mentorship, and some resources for typically startups. Our twist on it was we wanted to create that type of service for post-startups, small businesses. So could we deliver a digital platform for e-learning and other kind of resources to help small businesses master digital tools or growth in a digital economy? Plus, can we connect them to the expertise and peer groups to kind of take their business to the next level? The next thing we're also looking at is like, what are the other things that small businesses need, which were resources to help grow their business. So we were fortunate to partner with organizations like Dell and Intuit and Office Depot to provide additional resources. They support our programming and also contribute to, provide services for our members as well. So all that is basically designed to help small businesses to excel and grow.
That's fantastic, because in this day and age that we live in now, because, you know, as we're recording this, the state of California is locked down, meaning don't get out and go to work. So unless for exceptional, vital kind of, transportation, infrastructure, healthcare, those kind of things. Other than that, stay home. So what we're doing right now, and this is so the timing is so perfect for Accelerate America, EXCEL. But yeah. To excel, you've hit the head, you know, you hit the nail right on the head, which is we have to learn the new normal. And the new normal is maybe we don't go out and do, you know, face-to-face business, you know, sales calls anymore. Maybe we don't meet, have those, you know, conference rooms full of people anymore because of where we are with this pandemic. So it, the timing couldn't be more perfect. You can grow your business. I mean, you even mentioned it during the time when we were trying to get to know each other a little bit. You talked about, you know, there are companies out there that are actually accelerating. They're actually exceeding some of their numbers because they're changing their model to be more of a digital, the world that we live in, saying, hey, I can't meet you, you know, face to face anymore. But what I can do is I can use the technology that's available in the best way possible. And let's continue to do, you know, banking together and commerce and let's figure out a way to transfer money. And I don't have to take your cash and I can meet you on the curb and I can arrange deliveries and all these other things in this new world we live in. So this is perfect timing, you know, for the world that we live in today. That's fantastic.
if a contagion could be fantastic. Yeah, you're right. I mean, so there's kind of a Chinese proverb or whatever it is to don't waste a crisis, right? Like, you know, you know, there's danger and opportunity. And what it basically boils down to is we have to figure out, you know, the situation is what the situation is. So we have to figure out a way forward. And we were kind of fortunate to be thinking about how to help businesses to think more in a digital economy. It doesn't necessarily mean becoming more distant from your customers, but like we were already on that path. Just from a staffing perspective, I mean, we started our business. We have employees. While I'm in the Detroit area, we have employees all across the U.S., some in California as well. You know, so we had to start off digitally, and we, you know, this is a team that knew each other prior, and we had to think about how do we keep it human, right? Like, how do we still do the things that I think a lot of people are now tackling with feeling kind of isolated, or how do you do collaboration differently? Let me tell you, it changes the way you operate. But yeah, you're right also that I think, one of the things that this situation does with, being kind of forced into a remote mode is whatever was sort of happening already with technology and people going digital, it's accelerating, right? It's going to, or at least it's going to exacerbate those effects. So, you know, we have to cope with that, right? We have to get ready to play at that speed now or in that arena.
Exactly. That's right. So my listeners just, they love the origin story. They love kind of, it comes out as they're trying to connect and they're trying to find something that resonates with them. And if you have, you know, Bill Gates on the show, they talk about, you know, I'm never going to, you know, earn $160 billion. And, but then you find out that, you know, he dropped out of college and he was teased as in high school and he had a crappy childhood and, you know, all of that, all of a sudden the origin story kind of makes people human, right? They kind of brings them in and lets everybody resonate with, you know, the person that's there. So as the founder and CEO of Accelerate America, you're already at the, you know, at a level of success that some people could be intimidated about. But let's dive back into the origin story and let's talk about, you know, just pick a place on the time continuum before Accelerate America and just kind of tell us how you got, you know, when did you wake up one morning and say, oh, I think I'm going to be an entrepreneur? Or did you know when you were 2 years old or, you know, those kind of things? So just pick a spot. I love reading through your bio and talking to you earlier. I know there's so many cool things that have kind of molded you. So let's talk about a few of those. And that way our listeners know that, hey, this is a real human being. He wasn't born with a silver spoon in his mouth and his dad didn't give him $1 million to start his business.
No, dad didn't do that. could have used it. Well, you know, when I'm not listening to Mind Your Own Business, I've enjoyed how I built this. And if you'd been in the Detroit area at early morning, you might have seen me cheering, listening to some of those stories. So I can associate with what you're talking about. Like, I love a good origin story because it just gets you pumped up when you think about, oh, there's somebody else out there kind of tackling problems and kind of winning the day, or even when they're struggling and knowing that they survive. So point well taken, sir. So where should we start? Let's see. I grew up in Detroit. You know, as a kid, I kind of knew. So first of all, I grew up in an old neighborhood in Detroit. It's called Indian Village, if anybody's around there. So it's a place of old auto homes, auto baron homes, right? But in a, if you can imagine the 70s, post-riots, kind of out of disrepair. So you're talking about almost 100-year-old homes where you had to fix everything. And so my parents bought a place that was needed a lot of work. So as a kid, I was always sort of fixing things like a kid would. But it was funny because it was a lot of community trying to figure things out. So you learn to be kind of resourceful. And I remember when you talk about entrepreneurship, I remember I went to the local school, and however it came to be, the school didn't really have vending machines. Maybe schools didn't have vending machines back then. But you know, I sold bagels, and I think they let me sell bagels pretty much without incident. But when I moved on to candy, I got the kibosh. But that was probably my first foray into entrepreneurship. So I guess I always
knew. So you were selling your classmates bagels and schmear in the morning.
Yep. Believe me, we moved into, and then from there we moved into candy. You know, you do a little something in the morning, a little something afternoon. But until I got shut down.
I love it. You're right, because we didn't have. I grew up in the same era. I mean, you know, I'm right. A child of the certain of that. A man of that certain right. age, and you know, born in the 50s and 60s, and yeah. So I grew up, and we didn't have. We didn't have vending machines, and we weren't allowed to leave campus to go off. You know, we weren't allowed to even leave to go to lunch. You know,
right?
So, hey, I would have bought a bagel from you, brother. I would have bought a bagel.
There you go. Believe me, I had to figure out how to source it. So, I also had a paper route, and I ended up getting a double route. And I figured out then how to kind of run that operation. So as a kid, and I don't remember making a whole ton of money. I think I broke more windows than money I made. So maybe that wasn't running that optimally, but I just remember as a kid kind of always figuring out different little things like that. So, you know, those were early days, but, coming out of college, I'll tell you this, you know, I did do work in I went to a school in Detroit, the University of Detroit, which I think is now called University of Detroit Mercy. And it was funny because I worked in the Entrepreneurship Center, and this is dating me a little bit, but I remember one of the projects I had was, you know, they'd have you work with local businesses and write up business plans and stuff like that. And I was always interested in entrepreneurship, but then, you know, you get these businesses that you knew nothing about, really. You're just a college kid and you kind of clever, maybe, but, you know, somebody comes up to you with a retail shop and you're like, oh, okay, I guess I got to figure out traffic patterns or something like that. Or another, I remember vividly a business where they're talking about, you know, you need, it was an internet service provider, an ISP. Back in the day, you had dial-ups and all these ISPs. And I'm like, I have no idea, right? But, you know, you kind of figured out kind of how to solve problems like that and try to put something together. So I always had that little edge on it. But, you know, when you graduate college back then, you know, the startups weren't the sexy thing. The phrasing was like, you know, you can go to a small business and have a lot of responsibility, or you can go to a big business and get a lot of training. So,
yeah. And be there for 50 years to get a gold watch and retire, right?
100%, exactly. 100%, right? And those two things were at odds. So I'm like, well, I want, you know, I'm a hot shot. I'm going to go to a small business. And I did right out of there. And I guess one of the most important life lessons about this thing, and it was, came then when, you know, I thought I was all, you know, all that. And one of my mentors who got me the job is like, you know, you're going to get fired. And I'm like, well, how am I going to get fired? Like, what? I'm the smartest guy on this planet or this room, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, yeah, well, you're supposed to be special. So, you know, you shouldn't be, you know, you need to be bringing more. And, you know, that's, you know, just a heady little kid. But the most important lesson there was like, you know, go do it, right? Like, if you know, don't wait to be told what to do. And that really kicked me in the pants, right? You know, you think you're all that. It's really about going out there and making things happen. Lo and behold, one of the customers I worked for there, though, was Blue Cross Blue Shield. And that's how I got ended up there, because I implemented a billing system, kind of moved on from that. But I can tell you that there was nothing in those early days that said, like, oh, I've got it figured out. I mean, I was just kind of smart enough and creative enough to go figure out things. But one of the things my dad told me was, like, learn from every position, right? No matter where you're at, you're going to figure out what the problems are, and you solve those problems, that'll be your opportunities. So that's sort of how I kind of grew, ended up going to the ended up at Blue Cross Blue Shield, which was, you know, a big organization, lots of training, management training and stuff. And let me tell you, the difference between that and a small organization is, like, things like management training and, you know, all these other systems that you don't have as a small business where you're just sort of being scrappy. But, you know, I think from a basis of trying to operate where, you know, I kind of thought in the back of my head I'd always be running my own business, but it's sort of hard to see when you're in a big business how you're going to get there or what the opportunity is. And, you know, I just kept following this idea that basically you got to replace yourself. And then it's not just like bringing in a new person, but like, can I change the system? Can I improve what I'm doing and figure out what we're trying to do as an organization so that I can move on to the next thing? And, you know, later on in life, that came to be like an important thing, right? Like, when you, if you've read the E-Myth and stuff like that about kind of classifying roles and moving on, like being an entrepreneur, right? Moving from expert to entrepreneur.
Continuous evolution. You're evolving every day. Yes, I know. Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah.
So I guess I should hurry it along, get back to your question. But,
no, that's fine. We still have, like, you know, 40 minutes. So I still want to, okay. But I do want to get further on. But yes, yeah, so you jumped through you spent a whole bunch of years at Blue Cross Blue Shield, but then you somehow made the switch. Then you're in corporate America, and then you decided, okay, I need to be back at my roots, because you ended up going back with the chamber, right?
Yeah. Yeah. There's a quick step in between. So I went Blue Cross, and then I went to a hospital system. So if this is, you talked a little bit in our pre-thing about healthcare. Yeah. I worked at I was head of, at one point, pricing underwriting for Blue Cross Blue Shield. So I was that bad guy, you know, the person who handles all the rates and, you know, all those evil terms and conditions. And then I went to the hospital system where my job was essentially just to figure out how to generate more patient volume and do stuff like that. And then when they sold off our unit, I actually worked at a firstgeneration.com, and talk about not knowing what was going on. You know, it was funny because in my college days, you know, almost 10 years prior, it was like I was doing that ISP work, and here I am now trying to do things where we're creating an internet company. Well, you know, we ended up selling that thing really quickly, .com, 1999, if you remember what happened in 2000. And that's how I ended up at the chamber. It was funny because I was like, you know, well, maybe I'll do this for a year or two. And they have a big healthcare program, and obviously I'm the guy who knows about healthcare, and I'm a Detroit guy. So yeah, I'll do this for a little bit, and end up being there 17 years. But what was fascinating about it was, you know, you wouldn't normally see a person go to a chamber of commerce to go run a healthcare program. And they had, like, basically back in the day, it was like, you know, join and get a deal kind of thing, right? And so they were looking at healthcare, like, join our healthcare plan as a way of generating membership. What I looked at it as was, no, this is really an opportunity to solve a variety, use healthcare as a platform to address a variety of benefit needs. So you create a range of services. And so we did a lot of work in that space that took us into new product development for the Blues, were our big, you know, insurer. So I did a lot of work with those guys. But and that's how I ended up with the Center for Health Value Innovation. But it also got into things like we were doing enrollment platforms. So at one point, where if you were writing Blue Cross Blue Shield individual policies online back in the heady days of like 2011 or 2013, I should say. You're writing them through our back end. Like, we were the platform that managed those things, and which was a funny kind of reinvention of what I was doing with my first job out of college when I was doing things with membership eligibility files. So, but it just got to a point also where I had inherited that the chamber had a small discount program that I, with a big B2B supplier, and I ended up making that. They asked me to take that on, and I said, I don't want anything local. I'll do it if I can run this on a national level. So we ended up packaging that, and that's how we ended up working with like chambers of commerce from across the country. And what was fascinating about it was at that time, you know, everything was in the olden days was sort of like join and get a deal, right? Well, you know, during this time, this is probably in, by now we're talking like 2012, 13. You know, Groupon's already been out there and the internet's coming on and Amazon's now starting to get its act together for real. And, you know, you started talking to small businesses and they wanted more, right? Like, you know, they're coming out of the recession, maybe alive, but not booming. And they're looking for, okay, there's a lot of change going on. What do we do to help grow our business? So we kept kicking around different things that we could do until at a certain point you just decide, you know, let's go talk to these small businesses. What do they need? How can we best help them? And for us, it was, you know, I'd been doing a lot of work in healthcare and application development, and I was just talking to these small businesses, and they didn't have, by and large, the sophistication, you know, that I was seeing a lot of these kind of these other spaces in terms of technology, use of tools and stuff like that, things that I had been exposed to. So we said, well, you know, maybe that's a way we could start to share some things with people. Remember back in like 2016, 2015, the idea of video conferencing and collaborative docs or using ride sharing as a predominant way to, you know, do travel was still kind of novel. And so we started doing these things and we had a lot of interest. And then it wasn't just how to use the tools, but how do you start to adapt systems to, you know, how do you conduct tests really quickly? How do I try things in new ways? I mean, there's just more and more digital tools. So we decided in 2017, like, well, let's take this. We kind of had a test pilot where we did some webinars and we had a lot of partners show a lot of interest, you know? And so we said, well, let's do that full time. Let's really lean into that and structure it in that capacity of an accelerator. I mean, I had enough corporate background where I knew a small retailer might be challenged by things like, you know, Amazon. So are the big guys, right? Like anybody who's in the transaction space is feeling the pressure. So if you're Office Depot or if you're Dell, you're trying to go from transaction to relationship, right? Everybody's, you know, there's less physical things and more digital things that people are buying, more services. And all that takes relationships. And I knew from my work with just understanding human behavior and the people's interactions with applications that, you know, you have to start with trust. And one of the things that you have to do is solve the problems that people want to solve before you can get into other things. So we started building that idea around, maybe we could build an education platform that allows business owners to get this learning and support and connections that they want, and then find opportunities for the enterprise partners to support that work. So that's sort of how we got started. And now it's just,
that's crazy. That's crazy because you were, I mean, talk about being a pioneer. I mean, that's like, you know, if somebody had told me, you know, 10 years ago that I was going to be talking to somebody in Detroit over a computer platform, and mm-hmm. I was going to be recording that call and then putting it out for the whole world to download and stream, or I was going to be you know, using something called Netflix, or, you know, I was like, when you read the, I mean, 20 years ago, if you had seen the newspaper where Wall Street Journal said, you know, the number one hospitality company in the world doesn't own any property. The number one transportation company doesn't own any cars. The number one, you know, entertainment company doesn't own a movie. I mean, those are the, it just gets crazy, doesn't it?
Yeah. So you probably read the book, The World is Flat, right? That was 2004.
Thomas Friedman, he is a hero of mine. I say, well, it's not only flat, it's flat and hot now.
Yeah, you know, exactly. I'm like, 2004. Look, it is way flatter now, right?
It's every integrated. 15-year-old in America should have to read that book. Every 15-year-old. Stop complaining you only have two bars of service.
Right. I mean, think about it. In 2004, the iPhone wasn't out yet, right? Amazon really wasn't into its jam yet, right? Like mobile phones were just weren't a thing. Apps were still like appetizers, right? We didn't... The level of connectivity since then, Facebook was still sort of bumping along. It wasn't really out of the college environment by then. So now, in just 16 years, how radically different all this is, right? And that's a really short amount of time. And it's just fascinating to see where it'll go next. And so we talked a little bit about this. Like, now we have a populace that has been dumped onto Zoom, and you can watch Zoom stock, you know, skyrocket right now. But I guarantee you this, all this attention, all this flood of customers, it's going to breed another level of kind of a new iteration of platforms. And
so, things. You know, that's funny that you say that, because I look at, you know, before my grandmother died, when she was 90 years old or 96 or whatever she was, she went from growing up in the kind of the Midwest in Kentucky with no electricity and no running water in her home. Right. Born in a home, in a house, not in a hospital. And through her lifetime, she watched the invention of the car, the invention of, or the proliferation of electricity throughout the United States, indoor plumbing, you know, airplane and airplane travel, space travel. And then we thought, how could it change anymore? Right. How could it? Mm-hmm. And when I was in college and I wrote my master's thesis, I typed it on a Smith Corona electric, portable electric typewriter, you know, and we didn't have calculators. There was, you know, Texas Instrument was just coming out with the first, you know, TI, and they were $900, you know, for the first TI.
And you had to plug them in.
Yeah. And it's like, and then, you know, and then we hear these, you know, you kind of put it in analogy that you hear these scientists say, you know, that your smartphone has like 1,000 times, you know, calculating capacity than the Apollo, the Apollo 13 space shuttle, you know, space
rocket. I think it was something like the equivalent of if you took the Volkswagen Beetle and you kind of you went through all the iterations and you said, what would be the equivalent now? Like if we mirrored the advances in computing, something like it would go 300,000 miles an hour and, you know, have a range of like 1,000,000 miles or something ridiculous, right? Like just, it's hard to comprehend just how much more power and accessibility there is today with just technology.
Moore's Law. Yep.
Yeah.
More and more. But you know, what's so funny is when I took my first sales job in upstate New York, our sales office was on West 44th, and we were allowed to call her a secretary because that's what her title was.
Yeah.
The secretary had two fish bowls on her desk. One of them had rolls of tokens for the subway, and the other one had rolls of dimes because we had to use it to make pay phone calls to call back into the office to get our message. So it was so funny as you would walk out of the office to go make a sales call, you had your briefcase and your blue suit because everybody had to wear a blue suit and a white tie. I mean, a white shirt and a red tie. And we'd walk out of the office, and on our way out, you grab a roll of tokens and a roll of dimes because you have to call the office 20 times today to make sure you get your messages. And then, then the invention of the fax machine, and we all sat around and said, how did we ever do business without a fax machine, right? How did business ever get done? And then the computer, and then you're going, how did we ever do business without a laptop? And then how did we ever do business without a smartphone with all these apps?
Yeah, it's crazy. And how we become so, I guess, what would you just say, accustomed to it? You're like, yeah, this is the way it is. Yeah, I remember doing...
That's the new normal.
Blast facts and surveys.
Yeah. So that's where we are today. So now, you have Accelerate America, which is helping these customers, become... You know, I don't want to say become. Let's see. You're helping them to adapt to the new normal, and you're helping them also by not only do you need to pull them forward to say, here's what the technology is, because you become this conduit that says, you may not know this even exists. Because why?
True.
You're head down and butt up trying to actually make a living and running your business. In the meantime, the world out there is developing new tools and new technology. And let me introduce you to something called Zoom, or let me introduce you to something called, Vimeo, or whatever it happens to be that is the newest and greatest thing that's happening today, so that you can communicate and, entertain and work with your customers better than you ever have before. I mean, you talk about the shift from going from transaction to consulting or to relationship selling. Yeah. You have to be able to talk to. I had my son the other day saw me on my cell phone, and he says, you mean those things can still make phone calls?
Yeah. It's like, my son did the same thing. I'm like, you can't pull that.
I thought it was just for texting.
Right. That's the truth. You know, what's funny is I remember when phones came out and they had a camera. I'm like, that's silly. Why does a phone need a camera?
Exactly.
And nowadays, it's not just for Instagram, but it's a sensor. You do so many different things with it, right? QR codes are embedded into every camera now. And so I remember when people were like, QR codes will never last. Now you're like, oh, it's automatic. It's interesting, right? Like, it's... You don't appreciate the application of the tool until somebody starts pushing the envelope. I remember when the first apps came out with the iPhone, people were like, well, that's neat. You can blow up a balloon virtually or something, but I don't understand what you're doing. Like, how does this apply to my business? Well, believe me, it comes, right? And then all of a sudden you're like, what? How are they doing that, right? Like, so I think, the other thing is, we deal with primarily businesses that have already kind of gotten past the startup stage and are really looking to just grow or iterate on what they're doing. But it is easier than ever to spin up a business, right? And it's also easier than ever to go and test an idea, right? Like, so, and that's because of technology, right? And I think so. The speed of business overall is accelerating. The other thing that's different is our consumers, right? Like the people that we sell to, our customers, they are interacting differently, right? So, it used to be you just put your sign up and hope you get all the attention. And now, how many things are driven by search or, where some.
Exactly.
Yes, you gotta be able to compete.
No existed like SEO.
Right, exactly. Now, it's interesting because I think I'm a little contrarian on some of this, but I think search is fantastic and stuff. But if that's your go-to, if your go-to for customers is always somebody else's platform first, you're susceptible, right? Like you gotta figure out how to build your connection to customer and then let those things, augment that, if you will. And, I see a lot of small businesses just spending money on things. And I'm like, what you really need to be spending money on is figuring out, or maybe not even spending money, but just rethinking your processes. How are you going to create a connection with that customer? Because if you're just a transaction, you're not going to beat Amazon, right? You're not going to win that game. And so that's another part of where I try to talk to people about. We use technologies to create more connections, right? Like how to change the experience for somebody. So while we do a lot of discussion about technology. We do take kind of more of a, I guess a modern customer-centric approach, like the same thing you might do in developing a game or a piece of an application of some sort, where you're trying to think about what is the need that the users has, right? And then in this case, the user would be the customer. And taking that approach it's interesting, because then you can start to figure out what is the problem I'm trying to solve for this person, and what is that experience that I want it to be for them. So it's not a lot of small businesses have that luxury yet, right? They're still...
Well, that's true. That's absolutely true. So if you're out there right now, if you're listening to the sound of our voices and you've just downloaded this podcast or you're streaming it live and you're a, you know, entrepreneur, maybe you are past that startup phase where you are 0 to 1. And I've said this before, and you guys know what I'm talking about. I say, you know, you start a business, you set yourself on fire, you can probably get somebody to come and watch. Because when you do that, you know, you hang out your shingle, just like Roy said, and you attract some clients, and they come, and you actually make a few sales, and you're thinking, okay, we got this, we can make this happen. Well, then you start to grow, and you find out that you can't do it all as the founder, as the CEO. You can't be the number one sales guy, the number one fulfillment guy, the accountant. You can't, all of a sudden, you need a success team around you, right? Whether it's fractional, meaning you got to buy parts and pieces of those, like a fractional CFO or whatever, but you have to start building a success team. That's where Accelerate America comes in. That's where, you know, you're starting to stand up on your own two feet, and you're looking at how do we go from, you know, not 0 to 1, but maybe 1 to 100. And as all of you know, I talk about this every week. That's the model. That's where success or failure happens. And we don't like to talk about failure here, Roy. We talk about learning. So you either have success or you learn. You learn something. Yeah. So, and even in success, you learn something. But so how do our listeners then engage with you, Roy? How do they find, you know, Accelerate America? What are you on all the social media platforms?
Yeah, we're on.
How do they engage with you?
Yeah, so you can for sure find us on Accelerate Biz on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. Our website is accelerateamerica.com. That's EXCEL. So I'll say that one of the things that we kind of started off with is I talked about webinars and educational things. What we moved to really early was the notion of challenges, which I call them game-like, time-bound experiences to develop a skill. So unlike a typical challenge where, you know, like how many days in a row can you do something, blah, 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 what we really try to do is take a task inside of a group and or take a subject and break it into a series of tasks that you can actually work on your business. So I grew up kind of doing a lot of hackathons, and I really liked kind of the urgency, the focus, and also the kind of the interaction with others that would go on during it. And so I try to model that into the idea of our challenges as kind of these hackathon-esque things over maybe whether it's a week or a 30-day type activity. But you're also working on your business. You're not going over here and learning something and then trying to figure out how to apply it to my business. It's like real time. And you're in there with a cohort of other people doing it. So that's how I find, you know, we started off with one around social media, but we've moved into a lot of different areas around growth and thinking about a variety of things in terms of marketing and maybe mastering a few new skills. We're going to be developing another platform as well, which is really something that came out of, we call them jump starts. I'm kind of letting the cat out of the bag. But the idea of a jump start is like we've seen a lot of people who want to get started on something, but they just need an easy first step. So we've sort of tried to take a fun approach to helping people to do that. So maybe somebody's new to social or trying to figure out how to do a quick product launch. So we create these fun little, almost like Mad Lib type things, where they enter a few things and we create kind of a mock version of that that they can edit and do, or maybe it's the perfect version for them and they can actually get in, put them into play. So jumpstarts were like a snack version of a challenge in terms of putting something into business for you.
That's a great idea. I mean, that makes it's always that first step, that first leap of faith. I hate to say it, but it's that there's a lot of uncertainty and a lot of fear around of the unknown. And it's like and most of the entrepreneurs that I know say they're not afraid of failure, but that is their number one fear. When you dig deep into their psyche and you start talking to, you know, why don't they do this, is because, you know, that fear of failure. So if you make it a soft landing, easy place to where you can, you know, you can fail with fun, you know, then, you know, it makes it so that you have very low risk, right? That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So,
low then risk and low time commitment. I mean, that's the other thing entrepreneurs need, right? Like they're trying to figure out, they don't have time to go off and to sit down in a class for a month and do stuff. Right? Exactly. They need to be working on it right now, right? And
you know what they say, you can always tell the owner of the small business are the ones taking out the trash at night.
Exactly, right? And
they don't have any time. They've got to do everything. They've got to do it all. And when they go home and you know, lay their head down on the pillow, they're worried about everything tomorrow. And the employee is like sleeping like a baby because it's like, you know, hey, they don't have those worries piled on top of their head. So the boss sometimes has those extra stresses.
Yeah. And I think the other thing is there's a lot. We also focus on this idea while we talk a lot about tactical things. We also talk about this idea of whole person, whole business. So kind of why I focused on small businesses when we started this thing and why it was even called Accelerate America was because I always believed that small businesses like that were kind of the core to communities, right? They were people most invested in their community or most vested in their community. You know, I love the zeal of a startup, but really it's like when you talk about character and where do jobs come from, it's those, you know, younger growing small businesses. So take that, and then you add on to it the idea that what we were focused on, which was, okay, these guys are the most vested. They're also the ones who are going to change the game, right, in terms of the prospect of a community or whatever. And so we talk a lot, you know, you hear a lot of talk now about the business roundtable, trying to think about things like, oh, maybe we should have a broader sense of beyond shareholder. And you know who already has that is that local small business who's vested in their community, right? So we talk about those guys in terms of whole person, whole business, right? But of course, before you can think about your community, you also have to, the business got to work for the entrepreneur, right? Because a lot of small businesses, they don't fail so much as the owner burns out, right? Because they're the guy taking out the trash, like you said, and doing all this stuff. And if they don't figure out how to escape that, right, then they can't do all the good work that we think that they're capable of in terms of creating opportunity and prosperity in a community. So we really do take that seriously in terms of, like, how do we make sure that the load is shared, right? And that also there's a reciprocating idea that, you know, what we do as businesses takes consideration our employees, our customers, our community, you know. So it's got to be a balance. And, you know, I think when we think about the coronavirus and all that stuff today, it's going to present new challenges, but it does tell us that, you know, we have to figure out how to do these things together. Otherwise, it's just not going to work, right? Not for our community. So,
yeah. Well, I've got to tell you, this has been fantastic. I am so excited. I can't believe we're running out of time already. I mean, an hour just doesn't seem as long as it used to be, brother.
I talk a lot. Well, I talk a lot.
So we're going to put up all of these. We'll put up all the links on Inspired News Radio. We'll make sure that AccelerateAmerica.com is put up. We'll make sure that you have contact information and you know how to get a hold of Roy on all of his social media platforms. We'll get all of that put up. Obviously, you know, wherever you get your podcasts right now, if you're on Inspired News Radio, thank you very much. We appreciate that. That's our primary host platform, but we're also on all of the other platforms, Apple, Google, everywhere across the board. If you go wherever you find your podcasts, you can find Mind Your Own Business. And I so appreciate it. If you would take 5 minutes right now, just scroll to the bottom of the page, put in a rating. If you love it, put in a 5. If you hate it, put in a 1. I love the rating system. Just put it in whatever makes you feel good. If it's something that you enjoyed and you're going to be a fan, please hit the subscribe button. I really appreciate that. The more subscribers we have, the better our rating and where we find ourselves within the hierarchy of this ecosystem that we live in. But in the meantime, also leave a review, let us know, get engaged, you know, send us a direct message on Facebook, on Twitter, any of the social media platforms. Of course, you can find me on LinkedIn, of course, Scott Sullivan, anywhere. I'm on all the social media platforms. We love to engage, but in the meantime, go to Inspired News Radio, get, all of the links for Accelerate America and get in touch with Roy. If you are starting up as a new startup, get some advice from Roy. If you're in a position where you need to have that next level of advancement, that's the ideal client for Accelerate America. Get a hold of Roy and make sure that you're engaged. You can always reach me, of course. I could not do what I do every week. I say this without you, the listener. If you guys stop listening for some reason and stop downloading, I don't have anything left to do. So I appreciate you more than you will ever know. Thank you so much for being fans and for being subscribers, for taking care of us. We love that so much. And Roy, thank you so much for being a guest today. Thank you. Thanks for spending an hour with us and telling us about how to get from good to great using that Jim Collins model that we talk about all the time. So it's a perfect time. There's opportunity in this crisis. And this is the time to actually be digging through and sifting through and saying, okay, here's the gem that's in this. And I know it's tough sometimes when we're in just immersed in this, in all of this uncertainty, but trust us when we tell you there are things out there that are going to change and be the new normal. And you want to be part of that early on. So get a hold of Roy. Thank you so much for being here today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Scott. Thanks for doing this.
All right. Every week I say it, so I'm going to sign off the same way I do every single week. Thanks so much for listening. And remember, mind your own business because nobody else is going to.
You've been listening to Mind Your Own Business right here on InspiredNewsRadio.com. Thanks for tuning in each week as we interview some of the greatest CEOs and entrepreneurs in the world. You can reach us on Twitter at INR Talk Radio. Always use the hashtag MYOB for Mind Your Own Business. Make sure you stop by and check out all of the past episodes and all the great things that are available on our website, www.inspirednewsradio. There's great resources there that you can find for all of our other shows too. Thanks for being a part of the Inspired News Radio family. Until next week, remember to mind your own business.